FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. On this day in history, many things took place. In 1520, Ferdinand Magellan entered the Pacific Ocean. For the first time, somebody was exploring all the way around the Straits of Magellan and finding a whole new world opening up to them, an ocean bigger than the Atlantic Ocean that stretched all the way across to the east. Also, on this day in history, in 1868, Mount Etna in Sicily violently erupted. You're going to see more of that soon. This big earthquake in New Zealand, 6-pointer anyway, that was actually associated with an astronomical event. Gravity waves, gamma ray bursts from deep space cause or trigger many of these earthquakes. What earthquakes like the one along the Madrid Fault in the central part of the United States? Most people don't understand how that works. Even a lot of seismologists don't really understand how that works, and they're debating it constantly. You'd think they'd have that figured out by now, but then again, they're still figuring out evolution. So, you know, how much can you trust them? But the reality is the earthquakes that took place back in 1811 and 1814 in the Madrid Fault area through the Mississippi Valley, if they took place today, hundreds of thousands of people might lose their lives. Billions and billions of dollars worth of damage. It would set the country just completely topsy-turvy with its what's left of its economy. Events are likely to happen. They're overdue in parts like California, the fault that comes up through the Baja region, and up into they believe that if that continued process, eventually there would be a Baja peninsula that reaches all the way up to Lake Tahoe, although some think it would veer off in a different direction. But the point is major seismic events occur from time to time on the face of the earth. Primitive societies can withstand them rather well. Rural agricultural societies that are dependent upon their local technology in order to maintain equilibrium can survive these disasters somewhat well. Absorb them, so to speak. But highly technological societies that are dependent upon intricate grids of electricity moving across the country, networking of transportation of food sources to areas that produce absolutely no food, cannot sustain themselves in any way. I mean, like Los Angeles, you cut off the water supply, which all travels across earthquake faults, and everybody in that area, millions upon millions of people, are dying of thirst in 3 days. That's how quickly things can develop in some areas, because we depend on this very intricate, very amazing networking system of food production, food preservation, moving large amounts of produce to areas dependent upon those transportation systems, electricity for refrigeration, to maintain this constant flow of food. Most grocery stores, under normal circumstances, if they didn't get a truck in, the shelves would start looking bare in a few days. In case of an emergency, they would empty out overnight. Most people don't have enough food in their houses to sustain them for a few days, much less a few months. Every home should have several months' supply of food on hand at any given moment. They have insurance, but they have no food in their cupboard. That's insane. You should have not only enough food for yourselves for 6 months to a year supplied up, you should have enough food for your neighbors and for your relatives. A neighbor here jokes about the fact that if things get bad, you know, that people tease him about putting up some food. And he doesn't have a lot put up, but he puts up a little bit extra. But he says, people tease me about it, my relatives, but chances are if things happen bad, they'll all be at my house. And some of his relatives happen to be some of my relatives. So that's, I always joke, well, as long as they're at your house and not at my house. And he laughs about that. But the reality is those things are really possible. Those can really take place. They have in our lifetime. In different parts of the world, they are happening right now. There are millions of people who have lost their homes, and the rest of society, their families, what have you, have absorbed them. But that could become 10 times worse than what we've already seen in the case of geological disasters. The economy is on the verge of one of the greatest calamities in the history of the United States. And we don't have an ability to absorb the homeless people that may come from that. If you couple that with a geological disaster or some other man-made disaster, it can be absolutely devastating. And you can sit in your houses and do nothing, figuring that the government will help you out, and I'm sure they will. They will take you to work camps. You can call them internment camps, but they'll take you somewhere, but they will not be able to handle it. Just New Orleans, a little old hurricane, New Orleans, they were incapacitated and overwhelmed. Local police and emergency systems are not equipped to handle major disasters. They just can't do it. You have to do it. You have to gather with other people who care about one another and work together as a network. And that's why we've started the network, the Living Network. If you're on the Kingdom News list, you should know about the Living Network by now. And then, of course, being the non-slothful individual that you are, you immediately signed up for the Living Network in your local area. You immediately picked a contact minister on that local network to give you representation in the rest of the network. And you immediately became an enthusiastic, involved participant in the network. But of course, if I did not describe you, you'd better take a look at your approach to reality, because you got nobody to help you out. Now, we recently had a fire at one of the church properties in Illinois. Terrible fire. Destroyed a major building with lots of equipment. They were able to save some stuff out of there. Huge amount of resources that were available were burned to the ground. And what happened? They just burned to the ground. No insurance. The insurance is the network. Now, has the network properly been cultivated? No. Is the network properly used by those people who are in it? No. But the network allowed that other people heard about it. Other people gathered together in the network and went there and started helping with the cleanup. They would not have gone there. They would not have known of it had they not been on the network. Now, I could have published this on the Kingdom News. I'm mentioning now on the radio. But there are many people who think that they're somehow a part of what we're doing, and they didn't hear anything about it because they have not taken the time to join the network. to pick a contact minister. All the contact ministers knew about it. That's what we do. I notify the contact ministers. We notified them where they could go and see pictures of the fire. There are pictures up there now of those people who went and started helping with the cleanup. But most of the people in the network heard nothing about it, because most of the people in the network are not working at networking. The thing is, I discovered some time ago that people who get on email groups like to sit on email groups and read emails for entertainment, watching on TV, I guess. It gives them a feeling of belonging to something, participating in some way. But in the way we've got this set up, if you don't actually participate, you are actually excluded. You are separated because you separate yourself because you don't reach out to others. If you don't reach out to others, you won't even hear about what happens. And when you have a fire at your place, people will say, "Who are you? We never heard from you before. You never participated before." That's the way it works. If you don't show up for others, others won't show up for you. Now, if the network was properly functioning and people figured out the nature of a free government, which is people freely helping one another, a system of voluntarism, that's a free government, not a Continental Congress that gets there and starts dictating to other people what they ought to do and what they must do. I'm not dictating. You don't have to participate in the network. No, you don't have to. You can just sail around the Cape of Magellan and head off to the Pacific. Or you can start caring about others and start that process of learning to be what it is to be a Christian. People say, "Are you born again?" Oh, they want to know, "Are you born again?" If you're not born again, then you're not saved. Well, if you're born again, you care about others as much as you care about yourself. I had a minister write me and say, "Are you born again?" And I said, "Well, it depends on what you mean by born again. Lots of people claim that, but I see no evidence that they are actually born again." And then I wrote, "Yes, I am born again." And he asked me also if I could to tell how that came about. And it says, "Because the Holy Spirit." You know, that's what it said in it. And he writes back, "You did not answer my question." And I wrote him back. And then he goes, and he actually had a lot more he said than that, a lot more than I said to him. But I wrote back, "You asked, am I born again?" I wrote, and I quoted, right, put it in quotes, "Yes, I am born again. I think that is the answer." But the fact is he didn't even read past the first two lines when he got there, he wasn't even thinking. But the answer was right there, but he didn't see it. And that's the thing about being born again. Most people don't really see what that means. They got the phrase down. Oh, they got the emotional fervor of their mouths and their heart that I'm born again. I have accepted Jesus. But when you actually look at their life, they're not doing anything that Jesus did. Jesus actually went out and looked for people. He was the good shepherd, finding the lost sheep. Are you participating in that? Are you supporting the effort to find those other people who care about their neighbor as much as they care about themselves? The people who care about being born again, but don't care about even listening to their neighbors when they write them a letter. They don't know Jesus. They don't care. They care about their religion. They care about their philosophy. They care about we preach the word of God. We're saved and you're not. That's what they believe. They don't really care about you. They just want you to support them in their delusion. Now, I don't know if that minister really is born again. The evidence from his letter does kind of leans towards the idea that he's not. Now, he might be. I don't know. So far, I mean, the fact that he missed the answer right there in four lines of an email is amazing. Absolutely amazing. because he was drawing conclusions from that as his email rambled on, and he didn't even see the answer right there, plain and simple. Why didn't he see it? It was there. Didn't see it because he wasn't looking. He was looking for his stock little answer, his little support group. Well, that's not what the network is about. The network is about actually people. That's what we have to do, is be there for other people. Now, my job is to do what I'm doing. Nobody would have showed up to help with the cleanup at the fire except for the fact that I'm out doing my job. I'm networking people together. I'm making a noise loud enough that people will hear and come and show up. I know some of the people actually had to give up something in order to get down to where the fire was and be of assistance. And they made that sacrifice. That's a living sacrifice that Christ did. And we must do. People say, oh, we don't have to have the sacrifice anymore because Christ sacrificed for us. If it is in the nature of Christ to sacrifice himself so that others might be saved, freed, the captive free, the bruised healed, then it would be in our nature to do the same thing if we have received Christ, if we are born again. If you're not interested, then you're not born again. And you're fooling yourself. You see how it works? If you're not doers of the word, but hearers only, in other words, if you want to sit on a network group and do nothing, then go ahead and do nothing and expect the same to be done for you in abundance. We will give you an abundance of nothing. Because you have given us nothing of your time, of your energy, of your participation. You're a do-nothing believer. And we believe in doing nothing. You know, we joke about the fact that, you know, when bad times hit, what do you want to do? We can send you another email. Oh, you're hungry. Oh, we'll send you two emails. Oh, you're starving. We'll send you three emails. It's not going to work that way. It's not enough to be on an email group or sit there in your house and listen on the radio. You actually have to participate. You have to become doers. Which brings me to some other events that took place in history on this day. 1895, a little over 100 years ago, the first automobile race took place. 54 miles in an automobile. Amazing. And Evanston, Illinois, that took place a little over 100 years ago. We went from automobiles, no automobiles, to having automobiles and people flying all the way around the earth and submarines and what have you. Amazing, 100 years. Do you think that technology has ever come about in the past? It only takes about 200 years to go from humming community to flying around the world in airplanes. Only took about 100 years to make that jump. It's amazing. What do you think it was like years ago when people lived for a couple hundred years? When the lifespan of an individual was several hundred years? Do you think they ever accomplished anything like that? Could be. 1925, Grand Ole Opry began. 1942, the Coconut Grove nightclub burned down. 500 people killed in the fire. How do 500 people get killed in a fire in a building? They can't even get out in time. That fire actually consumes them before they can get out. A big fire up here in Silver Lake years ago. And, of course, the door, in those days, they had kerosene lamps. And most of the people were upstairs, and the kerosene lamp got tipped over, and a fire ensued between them and the doors. Now, people did die, but many people lived. What happened, though, is they busted out through the windows and they got out on the porch that overhung, the porch roof that overhung. And unfortunately, the more they were helping more and more people out, and nobody was getting down off that porch roof, and it was unable to support the weight, and it collapsed. But some of the people were actually burned rather bad, but the fire, it's an all-wood building, no fire extinguishers. This is way back at the turn of the century also, longer ago than the Grove. One of the worst fires in American history was the Peshtigo Fire. Thousands of people died in that, and usually because of absolute stupidity. People they actually went inside wood frame buildings during a raging forest fire to get away from the smoke. And again, the doors opened inward and not outward, and then when they tried to get out, people panicked and pushed against other people. Those are small instances of panic. They're also tremendous, and I mentioned it before on the radio, ways in which people survived. The woman who was running her buckboard through to get away from the flames and ran into more flames because the fire was crowning out, and she cut the horses loose and put a bag over one of the horses' heads, loaded her and her children on top of the horse and ran all the way to the river through the flames, and got there, took her kids and threw them in the river, laid down on the bank and had another baby. There's a tough lady. But they all survived. Yet the other people who all gathered together in a wood frame building to get away from the smoke, they all burned up. Panic, inability to think about others. I mean, one of the things that helped that woman survive, she was thinking about saving her children. That's her motivation, and it gave her a presence of mind. People who think about saving themselves, stay away from them. Those are not the last place you want to be is in a foxhole with 10 survivalists when the food runs out, because when that happens, you're on the menu. Interested in people who want to save themselves or get out of paying taxes or all those other things. We're interested in people who care about each other as much as they care about themselves. Those people who already have Christ in their hearts, or at least starting to grow in their hearts. Those are the people that should be getting on the network in droves. And we have some plans of getting better known in the future. We were on an interview with CNN, and that's coming up in February. We'd like to work to get on more radio stations and see if we can't get this word out. The more people we have working on this, the farther we can go. All you people who don't want to do anything, just want to sit and listen to your radio or get on an email group but not ever participate, you just keep sitting on the fence. Like Marcus Aurelius said, you just keep sitting on the fence because we don't have anything for you. Now, some of you have heard that story of Marcus Aurelius. Actually, that's a neighbor named Marcus Aurelius. He's passed away now, but he used to live right across the road over here. And his name was Marcus Aurelius, just like the emperor. Another thing that happened on this day in history is 1942. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, and Joseph Stalin met in Tehran. I thought that was an interesting combination. Winston Churchill, Franklin Roosevelt, and Joseph Stalin. We know quite a bit about the atrocities of Joseph Stalin. He used to stay up way past midnight making his red list that everybody on that list was to be executed the next day. And he just would just write down names, just more names. That guy, kill that guy, kill that guy, kill that guy, kill that guy. You know, arrest these people, send them off to Siberia. And he just did that. I was just trial by the god Stalin. And he tens of thousands of, millions.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. Reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today. You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil, because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow options there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We have a number of things that we should announce. I'll be in South Carolina at Fort Mill, flying in there on the 2nd. I think we start around the 3rd, meeting with people. We'll be there till the 9th, but the public meetings will be over long before that, I think. To find out more, go to actsinmotion.com, and they'll give you the information. If you're on the network, you will already have known about it. Admission is free, donation only. There'll be myself and someone else speaking for several days, and don't miss out. I know, don't fly all the way back to the East Coast for nothing. If you want to get together, if you want me to speak somewhere in that area with your own groups, get a hold of us. Let us know, and maybe we can arrange that, because I will be there longer than the original meetings, and we can maybe go around and meet some of the other people in that area of the country. We need to set up more of these meetings, and we are amenable to it. If you start working together in the network, it becomes an easier process, because we can make contact all over the country as the network is built. I can't build a network. I'm pointing everybody to it, but you have to become a participant, or you just won't know that things are happening. And we won't know about you when you need help. As I said, this meeting that took place in 1942 with Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill and Joseph Stalin. Winston Churchill had no time for Joseph Stalin. He knew he was a mass murderer, knew he was a terrible individual. But, you know, Winston Churchill was not completely immune to some government chicanery at times. I mean, he was working behind the scenes to try to get America involved in the war. It was a survival type issue with him. They knew they were going to need help from America against to prevent a Nazi invasion of England, which was imminent. Had they invaded when they should have, they probably would have taken England too. It would have us in a very difficult position to do anything about it. We wouldn't have had England to go to land and gather troops. The invasion of North Africa, which my father was a part of, was a very difficult thing as it was. But without England to stage from in those days, it would have been very difficult. So had Germany taken England, it would have been a different story. With the help of the Scots and the Welsh and the Irish, the English might have had a chance. But the English by themselves probably could not have withstood another invasion from the continent, just as they were unable to do so back in the days of Rome. But it would have been a decidedly different story. Many more people would have lost their lives, and it might have been a completely different outcome of the war. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt has been accused with a great deal of historical information that we know that the U.S. government had been manipulating Japan for years, trying to force it into doing something stupid like Pearl Harbor, strangling it with sanctions, etc. Not without some cause, because the Japanese, following American, French, and English methods of colonization, with a little bit more brutality in some cases, maybe not more brutal than the French were, but they were trying to force the hand of the Japanese, and eventually the Japanese did do something very stupid, which was bomb Pearl Harbor. There is a great deal of evidence that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had evidence of that imminent attack on Pearl Harbor and did nothing about it. And the reason why, because if an atrocity was committed, it would rabble-rouse the American population so that many people would run down and immediately join up in the military. And a more militant view towards involvement in Europe would have been made easy by the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor as an atrocity, as an unexpected atrocity. And it's amazing that we're actually people hired in government for years to try to force the hand of the Japanese to do exactly what they did. And they were trying to force, I mean, that was actually their mission. And this is documented. They've actually, this is what their job description was, to cause the Japanese to do something antagonistic where they could come back on the Japanese. That same kind of thing goes on today with the Christian-Muslim thing. I mean, you couldn't do more to make the Muslims. You're poking a stick into a beehive. If people had read my Strike Them With Thy Staff article, which is the opposite of what the title would lead you to believe, we would not be having this problem with Islamic terrorists. If we were really Christians, we would not be having trouble with Islamic terrorists. They would still be around. There's always, in every group, whether Christian or Islamic or whatever label you want to put on, there's always going to be the radical idiot who wants nothing but blood. He wants to cause destruction. You know, he wants to go into McDonald's and shoot a bunch of people and then shoot himself. You're always going to find those guys. But those guys are finding support because of our action and reaction. And social manipulators have known this for years. To get people angry, cause them to react, and then that gets somebody else more angry, which causes them to react. And before you know it, you escalate the situation to violent confrontation. It is a plan of the devil. And the enemy of peace is anger, resentment, unforgiveness. This is why Christ is saying, forgive. Learn to forgive. If we had forgiven those few Muslims that did bad things and gone out and held bad things, soon all the people crying great Satan would be crying it amongst themselves. And the majority of the people would say, are you, these people really care about us? These people are forgiving. These people are kind and considerate. I don't say don't carry a big stick, but speak softly and carry the big stick. You know, we aren't here to punish the wicked. We are here for the righteousness of Christ. God will punish the wicked. They will punish each other. You don't have to do it. And what happens is if we don't give them an excuse to kill Americans, they will have to kill their own people, which the people will see what wicked, evil men they are, and they would turn on them. Before you know it, they'd be hiding in the caves, not from us, but from their own people. I don't know how we keep falling into these sucker punches and keep fading in the wrong direction. But we do. We're suckered into it because we're not really a Christian nation. We're not really a forgiving nation. So anyway, Joseph Stalin killed millions. Franklin Roosevelt brought millions into socialism and allowed for the killing of tens of thousands that we could have avoided for his own purposes. Anyway, in 1964, on this day, the Mariner 4 was launched. I'll show you the progression from Magellan to the first car race to launching Mariner 4, which went all the way to Mars. Gerald Ford nominated Judge Paul Stevens to be a god of the United States, a ruling judge. Those of you who have read God's Many will know what I'm talking about. Those of you who haven't, need to go on the website and read some of these things at hisholychurch.info or .net or .org. But he was replacing William O. Douglas, who I quote extensively, not extensively, but several times in the book Covenants of the Gods, because Douglas saw the path that the United States had taken, which was far away from what the early American. He referred to the giant bureaucracy of the United States as the new George III. And it really is. I mean, we've become a communist nation thanks to men like Franklin Delano Roosevelt and some of the other presidents who had gone before them. And he knew it and wrote about it. On this day in history in 1994, serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer, remember him, the guy with the freezer full of people, was murdered in the Columbia Correctional Institution in Portage, Wisconsin, by a fellow inmate. On that same day in history in 1995, a year later, President Bill Clinton, another one who has murders all around him, signed a bill that ended the federal 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. It's interesting that if a government official murders people, he is heralded as still a great king, great ruler. If people are murdered, I mean, the number of people that died around Bill Clinton is absolutely amazing. You know, the whole Lance thing is just absolutely amazing. The evidence that something else went on there and was covered up is staggering to our imagination. Even men like Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter gave, more than $1 million worth. I can't remember the exact. I mean, it's a whole shipload of armaments to Indonesia when Indonesia had the worst human rights record in the world. He gave this as aid to Indonesia, armaments, weaponry. It was offloaded from American ships onto Indonesian ships, never went to Indonesia with it, directly went to East Timor, where Indonesia invaded a sovereign nation, one of the few sovereign nations operating in the black, because it was a fairly wealthy but small sovereign nation, invaded that nation, killed tens of thousands of people, killed all sorts of news reporters. The CNN that was just here, the cameraman, he knew people that had been to East Timor. I'm not sure exactly how, but he knew of how many people, newsmen that were killed by the army that was just brutal. Rape camps, the whole thing, just brutalized the people. We don't even hear about it in the United States. There's actually an a physical blackout in the news. And one of the films about that was put together by an English reporter, accidentally aired in the United States. They were going to air it again, and they went to static when it was supposed to go to airing it a second time, and something else came on. There's an actual effort, concerted effort, to black out information about that. Jimmy Carter was behind that. First thing they did in that country after they devastated was set up a Federal Reserve system. There had been no Federal Reserve Bank in that country because it was a fairly wealthy country. You know, they had resources that kept them operating in the black. And the way they excused this was they created an Arab fundamentalist picking on this group, and that group would fight back, and then they had to protect this group. And it was all trumped up. It's all orchestrated just so that these governments, who murder far more people than Jeffrey Dahmer ever murdered, who would have an excuse to go in and invade the country and take over all those natural resources and set up a Federal Reserve Bank. I mean, this is a matter of history. I mean, it's not something you make up. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy in history. History is a series of conspiracies. All it is somebody planning to get power over somebody or something else. And they would do it behind closed doors. That's a reality. That happens all the time. The problem is, what are you going to do about it? There's always some other closed door. You can't stop that. What you can do is create that alternative government. This is what Moses was doing. This is what Jesus Christ was doing. This is what Abraham was doing. Creating an alternative government based on faith, hope, and charity. Free will offerings upon altars, living stones of men who will help come to your house and help take care of you in time of need and calamity. And times of need and calamity are coming. I mean, you don't have to have a crystal ball to figure that out. Look at history. They come. From time to time, things get bad. Right now, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Right now, it looks like it's going to get really bad. I'm not sure you'll be able to recognize the United States in 2 years. There's plenty of people William Lindsay, he's been fairly accurate in the past because of his inside information, that he says you will not be able to recognize the United States. I haven't seen the video, but I hear reports through the network. You need to become a part of something that actually cares about you as much as you care about it. And that's the Living Network. So go on the website, click on that little network thing, bring it down, and join the network. If you're not already on the Kingdom News list, there's a subscription icon up there at the top of the page. Join the Kingdom News list. And then join the local network. You'll go to a page, and it'll show you all over the United States, all over the world, Asia, Africa. You can join South America. We have people, actually, someone in Rio de Janeiro was translating our pages on Romans 13. Wait till they see the Romans 13 book coming out. That'll knock your socks off. I'm taking the gloves off, boys. We're going bare knuckles. If you're not a part of the solution, which is the kingdom of God, then you're a part of the problem, which is Babylon. Now, you want to come out of Babylon, change your ways. You can take man out of Egypt, but you can't take Egypt out of the man. There is no place for apathy and avarice in the kingdom of God. The slothful shall be under tribute, so saith the word of God. If you are going to be slothful, if you don't care about others as much as you care about yourself, if you're trying to save yourself, if you're trying to get out of paying taxes, if you're pretending that you belong to a church that is doing what Christ said, take another guess, because I can show you you're not. The church should be your entire system of social welfare based on faith, hope, and charity, with no other system supporting anybody in your church except for the love of Christ and by the love of Christ, for the love of Christ. If that's not what you got, you haven't got a church. We don't have that yet. we are working towards it because we have repented and we have turned around and we are seeking the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Are you doing that? Or are you out, you know, trying to change the world? Change yourself. Start becoming a Minuteman for Christ by becoming a Minuteman for your brother and your neighbor. For being there for your neighbor when your neighbor needs help. The little bit of help that we offered the victims of the fire in Illinois is just a drop in the bucket. We could do so much more. But the truth is, some of the people in Illinois have not participated as much as they could. Not in the network. You know, there's a huge difficulty in overcoming our personal, whatever it is, vanity, position, you know, the baggage that we pick up, you know, because of the rejection of our family when we start going this way. You know, we become sensitive. We get sore spots, and you think people are attacking you all the time. And you become almost paranoid. They're not. And even if they are, so what? You have to be ready to have people. You have to be ready to allow them the freedom of disagreeing with you and be willing to turn the other cheek and say, okay, you disagree. What can we do about it? You know? And you do a little soul searching, and if you think, well, I'm not doing wrong, well, then fine. But they have a right to disagree. If we are like Christ and forgive in a moment, we cannot take offense. We will not take offense. There will be no offense in us. Coming together is a very hard thing to do. Coming out is fairly simple. Surviving when you come out, well, some can do that better than others, but when Israel left Egypt, they left with the old and the young and the infant, the infirm. They left with the whole society. They didn't say just the strong can come, the rest of you can just die. Not Christ-like. That's not what Moses was doing. That's not what Abraham was doing. They came out together and they suffered each other's weaknesses and they learned patience, humility, love. They learned to draw one another by being the soul that you need to be. You didn't drive people away from each other. You didn't divide, because they're not going to be as strong as me. I'm not going to have anything. I'm going to make their lives miserable. Now, I'm sure there were many Israelites who fell away and you know, and saw little small towns and said, oh, can we become a part of your government? I mean, look at Lot. He went and joined up with Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a little easier. Yeah. And you'll always have that. That will thin things out. We don't have to create burdens. Being free is burden enough for itself. What we have to do is create those bonds of love and compassion. That means listening and hearing and being slapped in the cheek from time to time and saying, I'm still here for you. I'm still what you need. I am another person who cares about you as much as you care about yourself. Like I said, nobody would have showed up for the fire or the cleanup if I wasn't doing my job. And that's what I'm going to focus on. I've had people over the years, and they've helped me write these mini books, and we've got two more books coming that are all available for free on the net. Somebody says, oh, he's just selling books. Well, I might sell a few. I mean, you can buy them if you want, but you can download them for free. You can go to the library, print them out for free. I don't know, maybe they charge you something when you print stuff out at the library. I know somebody's got to pay for it. That's the thing. You know, I'm a free man. I don't even have a computer. I go use the one at the library. Well, who bought the one at the library? The government. You know, it's amazing how many free men are living in their mom's basement. You know, I'm a sovereign. I live in my mom's basement. and there's a lot of sovereigns out there, wherever they want to call themselves, running around. And they're getting by. They're young. They're strong. They're able to get a lot of work or something or some work. But they're not coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Therefore, they have nothing to do with the kingdom. Therefore, they will not ever be heard from again one of these days. Everybody's going to wonder, whatever happened to that guy? You know? And nobody's going to care, because you didn't care about anybody else but the fact that you were a sovereign. It's just not going to work. You need, you know, what's coming. I mean, you can't believe what's coming. You've got to come together. And I don't want you to come together out of fear, because then we'll just be 10 men and, you know, survivalists in a foxhole. We got to come together because we love the ways of Christ, because we're being born again of Christ. You know, I was at a group up north of here a couple of days ago, and I said, in order to be a true Christian, you have to care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. And, of course, it's not caring about your neighbor in order to, if you send out men to gather money so that you can have free education for your children, that's not loving your neighbor. That's coveting your neighbor's goods. But I said, in order to be a minister of Christ, you have to care about your neighbor more than you care about your own life. And the minister who was at the table there, I could see his eyes open up when I said that. Because that's the character of Christ. If Christ is in you, that's not a problem. You actually do care about your neighbor more than you care about yourself. Till then, may peace be upon your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.